Wholesome Friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hi, everyone. It's Lisa.
And Val.
And Courtney can't be with us today. I should include that. And we are here with Brian and Kristen over there on the east side of the country. We're on the west side, so a few hours difference. We're so excited to talk to you guys and hear your love story, all the ups and downs of it. So, yes. So let's go ahead and get started. Kristen. Let's hear a little bit about you, where you're from, family background, all that.
So I'm from Newburyport. My parents were in the military, so we moved around a lot. We finally settled in Salisbury, Newburyport area. Ended up moving around a bunch, and that really played a part in, you know, being unsettled and stuff. And we moved into my grandparents' house when I was little, and there was a lot of people there, so it was a very chaotic background, upbringing, lots of stuff going on and lots of people in the house. So it was a lot of turmoil and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And how about you, Brian? Where are you from originally? And
well, first I want to thank you ladies for having us on the show and letting us tell our story. I've listened to some of your podcasts, and you guys are a handful. You're fun. It's a lot of fun to join you guys. But a little bit about my childhood. Yeah, I mean, I also had a pretty tumultuous childhood. My mom was 21 years old, had an older brother already, you know. And so when I was born, my brother was already there. Probably 6 months later, my parents divorced. My father was battled drug addiction. And so that was his battle. And he was in and out of my childhood for many years. And we moved around a lot in my early years. So my mom being 21 in 1969, 1970, trying to just pay the bills and figure life out and figure herself out. Not an easy task to do with two boys, you know, at your hip, trying to figure that all out. So yeah, it was pretty rough going. You know, a lot of like Kristen, we had a lot of chaos in the house, a lot of, you know, things that probably kids shouldn't have seen or been around and stuff like that. So so that formed a lot of my thought patterns, and you know, as I grew into an adult, you know, kind of really had a powerful effect on my life, some good and some bad. And I don't want to think it wasn't all bad, right? There was some good, but certainly some things there that played out later on in our lives. And we'll tell you that story in a little bit as we go through this.
And it sounds to me, I think, Kristen, you had mentioned, or I heard earlier, you also kind of were raised without your dad around for a good part of your upbringing too. So you guys both kind of went through some.
Yeah, my dad was in and out of my life. When he was in our lives, it wasn't a good thing. It was very abusive, very physically and mentally abusive. So it was almost better that he wasn't there. But when he left a really big bombshell on the family, and a lot of death threats, and it was just not a good situation. He's wanted by two different states, and he's just going through his own battle and his own demons, unfortunately, and going through trauma and everything, and going through therapy. It's really opened my eyes to see, like, we all did the best we could with what we're given. But some people put the effort in and some people don't. So unfortunately, he has not.
Oh, and I'm imagining being in the military. Did he serve overseas, and was he on the front lines at all?
As far as I know, he wasn't. But he used to jump out of helicopters and did a lot of like Green Beret stuff. My mother was in the Air Force as well. She was an air control traffic person. He also used to work for Massport and did a lot of their electrical stuff. So,
the one time we get a plane that comes through here.
I was almost perfect timing.
Marie is jumping out right now.
That's right.
He's jumping out of the plane.
Those sound effects are great. Like, no, she goes with the extra model with that one.
Pretty perfect. Yeah. Little icebreaker there.
Okay. So when you guys, before you met each other, like, where were you at in life? What were you doing with your life? Like, were you looking for love? Or were you looking for a relationship? Were you?
I wasn't.
Yeah. We kind of met at a very interesting time in our lives together. We had both. So Kristen had recently separated from her husband at the time. They were
about
4 or 5 months separated and headed towards divorce. And she knew it was kind of done there. I had recently just come out of an engagement to a girl that I from back home where I'm from, New Jersey. I'm born and raised in New Jersey. So a girl back there that I would kind of met, and long story short, same town that we grew up in, and had a little whirlwind thing and engaged to her, and that kind of fell apart. And I was probably a couple of weeks removed from that when we met. But like I said, like she said, we weren't really looking for love at the time. We're just kind of out there trying to figure our lives out and put the pieces together when we did meet, and things just kind of developed from there. Yeah.
Yeah. So who said, hey, let's go out for coffee? Or how did you go from like
so kind of okay, so we met the old-fashioned way, right, in a bar, right? I mean,
old-fashioned way, exactly.
So, all the bad decisions start. Yeah,
and it was really a local
great
stories. Oh, it'll get better. So,
it was a local little pizzeria / bar. It wasn't a huge bar, but it was this quaint little area, and a lot of times not very pop. Yeah, not a very crowded place to go. I happened to venture in this night, and I was by myself again, just recently separated, whatever, and dealing with some stuff. So I ventured in, and it was packed this night. I'm like, whoa, what are all these people doing here? And I saw Kristen sitting down at the table with her cousin at the time, and I thought, oh, there's a cute girl. I certainly got she got my attention. But I wound up sitting down at the bar, and my back was kind of to her. And the people next to me eventually, probably after about 45 minutes to an hour, they finally got up and left. And when they did, Kristen came running over, and she sat down next to me and says, so, you want to do a shot? And I was like,
I love it.
I'm not normally one for shots, but I don't pass down a beautiful lady like that. I'm like, I'm not stupid. So that was the first introduction, and we wound up just having a lot of fun that night and really enjoyed ourselves. And then, we just kind of got each other's numbers, and we eventually was like trying to plan to get some dates going. And even that was a lot of fun because we had some mishaps there and some things that happened that really just kind of caused us to laugh and wonder, like, is this going anywhere? Because we really
don't know why he kept coming back. To be honest, everything in the universe just made it so difficult to get together, and like we really had to work on it. Like I broke my ribs one night. We were supposed to meet up. I'm like, oh, can't make it. I broke my ribs. And he's like, people say they have the flu. Or I'm like, you know what? No, we're not doing it.
I'm going to take it up a notch.
I'm like, yeah, you really took that one up a notch. She goes,
I just used the hair drying excuse.
Yeah, exactly. But this is from the couple that gave us the man jumping out of the plane at the beginning of the session. Yeah. So,
Oh
yeah.
So it was just a lot of fun though. We had a lot of incidents like that where we'd laugh, and there were some missteps, but we kind of worked through the missteps. And when we did hang out, we would just have a lot of fun and laugh. And that was really what kept me coming back. Right. She wonders why I kept coming back. Well, I was just having a good time with somebody who made me laugh, and I needed somebody at the time to help me do that. And she was the perfect person for that. So
yeah, it was definitely comfortable from day one. It was like, I knew him my whole life.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And I would imagine at a time when you guys are like, probably your heads are spinning because you're just trying to figure out relationships you're getting out of.
Yeah. And then getting everything squared up.
Yeah. Somebody to help ground you a little bit.
When did you guys both start feeling like, ooh, this could maybe be sort of serious?
Yeah.
Ooh, that I think those are two different questions.
I would say for me, it was definitely a few months later because I was still healing from the relationship. Like, whereas mm-hmm. Kristen kind of had been there, maybe she was more out of the relationship longer than me mm-hmm. mentally. So emotionally, I was still kind of battling that. But I think as I began to heal more and more from that, I kind of woke up one day and I was like, who is this girl? You know, and real quick, I kind of, even before that though, here's what happened. Even though that broke up, something told me I was going to meet somebody really special and that mm-hmm. breakup was for a reason and that I was going to meet somebody really, really special. Now I didn't know this at the time, but I had already met her. And that's what was kind of funny is that later on when I realized, I was like, wow, I knew I was going to meet somebody special. Something told me how that was going to happen. But yeah. I finally woke up one day after healing for a few months, getting that relationship, the other relationship behind me. Then I woke up and realized, like, wait a second, I have somebody really special here in front of me right now. And and I remember just, you know, one day we were just snuggling together and we just laying down and snuggling. And I was like, there's something different about this girl. And I didn't even understand it. It was really something I'd never experienced before. And I knew then that there was something different. Just, yeah, mm-hmm. it was just different.
It's when he really started chasing me.
Yeah, definitely.
So who said I love you first?
Ooh.
Ooh.
No, that's a good question. I probably did, knowing me. I could be the romantic or sometimes.
Yeah, I think it maybe like mutual time. Like, yeah. I don't know. It was just there. Like one day it was just there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in the silence.
Yeah, it was literally just, it grew. And then all of a sudden, I think we both just woke up and realized like, this is something really special and unique. And it was pretty awesome. And so it just happened. I don't remember the first time I said, I love you or vice versa, but I think we both probably fell in love right around the same time. It was just kind of like a mutual experience, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I want to know, because I'm a girl and we love to talk about proposals and engagements and all that good stuff. Yeah. How'd you take it to that level? Or I'm guessing Kristen sat down a shot glass and said, hey, you want to marry me?
No? So, something close. Like that. We had been dating for a couple of years. And for the first few years that we worked together, I would spend my winters in Florida, where I had spent 25 years, most of my adult life down there. So I was doing some work down there in the winter times. I would fly back up here quite a bit and make sure I visited throughout the winter time. And then I would spend spring, summer, fall here in Massachusetts with her. And so for the first couple of years, it went like that. But we realized that, you know, the time away was getting harder and harder. We really hated the winters, mm-hmm. not being able to spend time together. And so we were already talking about getting married and really, you know, making the final move so that I wasn't down there in the winter times. And then she got pregnant. So we realized, okay, very quickly that, you know, and we were happy with that, but it was one of those things mm-hmm. like, okay, now it's time to really kind of make things happen. So I decided that I would move here full time in Massachusetts and put my little plan together as to, you know, how to propose and make that official. We had our family and my mom was up here at the time. Her mom was up here at the time. They both live in Florida. It was at the baby shower. So they were having a baby shower for us. So it probably had about 15 people or so at a nice restaurant here in town. And I kind of popped the question there in front of everybody. So,
That's really sweet. That's so cute. What a good time. That's such good timing.
Did you know it was coming, Kristen?
No, I was the only one. Like, he started talking and all of a sudden I see everybody's phone just like come out. I still didn't. I'm like, wow, everybody's taking pictures. He's just doing a speech about family and how important it is to him. And then he gets down on one knee. I'm like, oh, now I get it. I'm slow to that one. But I was also pregnant, so my brain wasn't working. Yeah. So.
That's so cute.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So you do have a son.
Yeah, so our son was born in December of 2019. His name is Dax. And
that's cute.
We also have a daughter from Kristen's first marriage. Her name is Bryn. So she's actually about to turn 14. And so the two of them are kids here, and they're a lot of fun. We love them. They're both great kids.
Fun. Yes, love it. Yeah. Yep. So the wedding happens.
Nope, COVID happened instead of a wedding. So,
that's so true.
Yeah. So we got engaged, and then of course, you know, COVID happened in 2020. So when it did, it kind of put everything on the back burner. We realized, hey, this isn't the year. We're not going to do this now. And then next thing you know, 2021 happened, and we talked about it, but it just didn't happen. Right. So we kept putting it off. And even though we were talking about it, it just every year just seemed like we never got it. Yeah, we never got it done. And it was just one of those things that happened. And next thing you know, you wake up and it's been 4 or 5 years later. Now, with that said, we are talking about it again. I think we're a little more serious about getting it done this time and really, you know, really
we're in a better spot for it.
Yeah, making it happen.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, wow. I forget about COVID. I want to forget about it. It was a nightmare for everyone.
It was not a fun time.
Yeah, so that kind of put everything on the shelf for a little bit, but that's where we are today for sure.
Okay. So what are your guys's, what's your favorite thing about each other? What do you love most about each other?
I love how Brian makes me laugh. He can put me in such a great mood and I have so much fun with him. He's my best friend.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great qualities.
And look at this face.
Look at his face. Handsome face. Kristen's great. I mean, same thing. She makes me laugh a lot, but she's also very loyal. She's very honest. She's very giving, hardworking, probably the hardest working woman I've ever met in my life. My mom would be right there with her, but like, honestly, I see that in her. She just brings so many good qualities that it's hard not to love her, you know? And that's why I knew this was the girl I wanted to spend my life with. Not only the fact that she's beautiful, right? So, but all those other qualities, because you can have beauty. Beauty is one thing, but if you don't have the internal qualities, then it's just not going to last very long. So,
you guys got a lot of good things going on for sure.
Yeah, we do now. So we did have some rough going for a little while. We'll tell you about that if you'd like to hear that one.
Well, I mean, I don't mind getting to that. I'm just curious, like, favorite things you love to do together and has that changed over time?
Wow. I mean, both of us run our own businesses, so we are fairly busy. With the kids, that's tough. So, I mean, I think this year we're definitely making a better effort of going to the beach. The kids love the beach, so we're doing the beach stuff and we're trying to take some more vacations this year, take just some weekend getaways. We live close to New Hampshire, there's some really great spots up there that we like to go to. And so this year we're actually making a better effort in doing that. But other than that, we really just enjoy just being around the house with the family and we don't get to go out too much, you know, it's a lot on our plates to do stuff, but we have a few friends and now and then they'll come over and maybe we'll hang out a little bit and drink a little wine or something chill. But really that's our lives. It's pretty low key.
Yeah. Well, when you've got your best friend who can make you laugh all the time, I mean, really, do you need to go anywhere or do anything else?
Honestly, just sitting next to him on the couch or out on the porch here, like that's perfectly fine for
me.
We're
big dart players, so we do like to shoot darts. And we literally have a dartboard in our dining room, and between the two of us, we will just drink a bottle of wine or something and shoot some darts, and that's a big night for us, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys ever like, okay, whoever wins this game, the other person has to do all the laundry.
Whoever wins what? Say that again. I'm sorry.
Whoever wins this game, the other person has to do all the laundry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We've definitely done some stuff like that, you know, for sure.
And so who normally wins?
Which I was going with, you have to take your shirt off.
We play a lot of truth or dare, and that's our fun too. that's something else we like
really
to
good
play.
At it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But, no, Kristen's pretty good. She'll always challenge me and give me a pretty good game, but I do kind of win probably a little bit more than she does, but it's always fun.
It's usually neck to neck, so it's a very good game. Yeah. And when we're out at like a local watering hole down the street that has a dartboard. Like, people will watch us play because it's just it's very exciting. We challenge each other. We make each other, you know, have to play better. So it's
fun.
It's interesting. That's awesome. It's very interesting.
People watch me play because they want to dodge where I'm throwing.
Yeah, they want to make sure they don't get hit with the dart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally different reason.
So I do kind of want to go down into, like, you guys have so many things you enjoy doing with each other. What are some things that have been difficult that you guys have had to overcome?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, a lot, certainly a lot.
yeah.
And in 2024, things really got kind of ugly. I think for the most part, a lot of our stuff started, I think, when my son was born, just parenting styles. That became an issue. As much as we love our kids, sometimes just the difference in parenting styles really began to play out. Some differences with the COVID thing was kind of we had some different ideas about some of those things. And so all that kind of created a lot of, a lot of little battles, you know. I never felt there was anything over the top that we couldn't work through. But there were certainly signs that were happening through those years, you know, from 20, 21, 22, 23 into 24. There were those fights. There were some of those issues. And of course, you know, it's always easy to point the finger and think it's the other person. And so, you know, I never felt it was my fault. It was always things that she needed to work on, right? So, you know, I mean, I'm perfect. So, you know, like, it's obviously her, right? So, that's the mentality that we, you know, that's the mentality that we sometimes have when we are dealing with spousal issues. A lot of times it's hard to look at ourselves as part of the problem, but.
Well, I'm curious because you guys are both business owners. When COVID happened and things got shut down, were you just around each other constantly, like in those four walls, or how was that looking? What was that?
That was fun. So we actually, when we got the message on the news that everything was getting shut down, and I own a dog grooming business. So I tried to get in as many dogs as possible in like the next 24 hours. And then I got home and I looked at Brian and I was like, so you want to go to Florida to my mother's house? Cause she has a pool there and the kids can swim in the pool and my daughter can do school online cause they've been out for the last 2 weeks. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. As long as she's okay with it. So I called my mother up and I'm like, hey, if we just drive, like, don't stop at all, just drive straight. Would you want us there? Like, no, if you say no, like, totally understand, there's a major virus going on. Totally get it. And she's like, oh yeah, no, everything's open up down here. Just come on down. I'm like, oh, okay. It's not a thing down there. Got it.
I love Florida.
I'm like, all right. It's completely, apparently it just stops at the border. So
we lived in Idaho during COVID, so it was like that too.
Yeah. So, we ended up staying there. We were supposed to stay there for like a week, and my sister stayed at my house with one of our dogs, and we took another dog with us. But she's immune compromised, so she wanted to get out of the house that she was living at with my cousin and her four children who were in college and just bouncing around from friend to friend and having parties and everything. She's like, I need to get out of there. So she stayed at our house and she's like, okay, I'm good. I'm safe. And then, you know, we left and we were supposed to stay there for a week and then it turned into 2 weeks and then it turned into 3 weeks. And I believe we were down there for a total of
four or five weeks. Yeah. 4 or 5 weeks there.
Yeah.
So we kind of rode it out down there pretty well. And then We did make our way back up north here into Mass. And once we got back, you know, her shop was able to kind of reopen. And so she went back to work pretty hardcore.
That was brutal.
But it was still kind of tough, you know, even just, you know, not being able to go out at nights and do, you know, go to a nice dinner and stuff, which is stuff that we like to do. We talk about things we like to do. We like to go out to eat, right? Mm-hmm. That's something we like to do. But not being able to do that too easily, that kind of hurt, you know, when you get back here and then you are a little bit more stuck in the house, right? So that does cause a little bit more tension and conflict.
Lots of organizing going on and then something's left somewhere and it's like, I just organized it all. You know, you start getting tension going.
Yeah.
Yeah. It disrupted a lot of routines and we had to refigure out how to be around each other to some degree.
Yeah.
Definitely. That definitely tests your relationship, right? So when you're in that position, you're going to really find out how much you love each other and things you do love about each other or not. And gives you a good chance to work on things for sure. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, just the financial hit that they took because of businesses closing down and, it was hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what would you say, like your first disagreement, what was that about?
Our first disagreement, again, over the years, it's hard to say, but again, a lot of our problems were parenting style. Yeah, parenting. So probably still is, right? That's probably still our main issue is like just raising our kids and how to deal with them sometimes. Other than that, we don't really have too many arguments. We don't really, we really get along very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, up until 2024, when we did have a pretty big argument, again, about it really started with our son. And it was a disagreement about some things that were going on with him. And then that kind of led us down a really bad path over the next few months. Things really began to steamroll in a negative way. So to a pretty bad point, which we're very lucky to have worked through that. But yeah, it got a little weird for a while. But yeah.
So how did you start the healing process? When, you know, it sounds like you guys had, how did you learn to like get through the hard time and, you know, move forward?
Well, first, I mean, so you talk about our first fight. The first, we started really, that fight that we had with our son was probably early February. Over the next few months, things really started to get like more and more emotional. Things got really kind of testy. Now, right after that fight, though, she suggested that I see a therapist because obviously it's all me and I'm the problem, which I, of course, said, well, you need to see a therapist as well. And so but we both agreed that we probably needed some work to do. So we both did begin to see some therapists, which was great. But it also began to trigger us a little bit more. I think the emotional stuff that was coming out when we were seeing our therapist was actually begin to kind of almost add fuel to the fire. The next few months, here we are trying to heal a little bit, but we're now getting triggered with these things. And it just became this really emotional headbutting between the two of us. It wasn't that we wanted to fight. It wasn't that we wanted to fall into this weird emotional, and it became so emotionally overwhelming. We couldn't really control it. It was out of control. But because we're opposite sides of the spectrum here, I was trying to keep the family together, trying to fight for some things. And in her mind, she kind of needed a little space, a little bit of room to think some things through. And I was having a hard time giving her space. And so it just became a clash because we didn't fully understand what was happening and we didn't have the tools necessary to heal it and stop it at that moment. So it actually devolved to such a poor degree that she would eventually put a restraining order against me for emotional purposes, never any physical violent threats or anything like that. But emotionally things happened and led to a point where, you know, she put a restraining order against me. And that was kind of the final blow. I thought the relationship was pretty much over at that time and didn't know really what to do at that point. So it was a little crazy time at that point for sure, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like that was a lot to deal with all at once. And for sure.
Well, it sounds like you guys had a lot to unpack from your childhoods too. And so I can totally see as you guys are diving into those things, how your triggers could come up to the surface and kind of make everything a little bit bigger for you during that process. So how did you move forward after that? Because you guys are super adorable and very, very happy now. Yes.
So we're at this point here today. I mean, I'll tell you a little bit about my side of that healing process was right before the restraining order happened, I began to, look on YouTube and looking for answers. And I came across somebody named Thais Gibson. She has a program called Integrated Attachment Theory. And I started learning about attachment styles. And that really was powerful to me. I started to realize like there's a lot of answers there. I felt like there was some real great knowledge in there. And so I began to focus my attention on that, trying to do some work in there and understand it more. And it really just blew my mind. And when the restraining order happened, I realized, okay, it may be over between us. Like I didn't think we were going to be able to save our relationship, but I knew that I just wanted to keep doing the work and realize that, you know, if I did the work, then I can at least have a happy relationship with somebody. And I just kind of took that approach is like, well, I can't lose if I just keep moving forward and do that. And so I did. And so little did I know that she was also doing some of her work and some of the healing that she was going through. And she can tell you about what she was doing at that time. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about your process, Kristen.
So my process was kind of different. I went down a sand, it's called sand tray, sand play therapy. It's a more gentler kind of therapy where you don't really have to sit there and talk about and relive the emotional trauma that you went through as a child. Your subconscious doesn't talk in words. It talks in symbols. So you go around this room, you pick a bunch of symbols that you have no idea why you're picking them. They just caught your eye. You put them in this tray and it's like your subconscious gets to tell its story. And then you just feel so much better. It's just poof, gone. I don't know how it works. I have no idea. I think it's voodoo, but it's wonderful.
But it works for you. How did you come across that? I haven't heard.
One of my clients is a therapist. And when we were going through our stuff before the restraining order and everything, and one day I was watching her dog and she came to pick up her dog. And she looked at me and she said, "What's wrong?" And I just burst into tears. I'm like, "I just can't do it anymore. He's suffocating me. He just won't leave me alone." And I ask for space and he's like, give me, I need a hug. I need a hug. I'm like, get away from me. So, you know, it was just so much. And she's like, "Well, it's actually not him. It's your mother, your caregiver, your father, whoever treated you this way is coming up in your subconscious. And he is just playing that out. You're reminded of him." I'm like, "That doesn't make sense to me at all." So, you know, then she's like, "Nope, you need to come see me." I'm like, "Okay." So I went down this road with her, and honestly, it's given me a reality of, for my whole 41 years of life, I've only been surviving. I've never lived.
Yeah.
I have fought and I have survived my whole life. Everything that I thought was joyful, it wasn't. And now that I'm actually living and I love myself and who I am, and I've come to attach my mind and body again. Whereas when I was younger, to escape the pain, I had to detach.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have that kind of healing and really get through your childhood trauma, it's a whole nother level of understanding of yourself.
Oh, that's incredible.
That is really what has brought us together, because I know he has mannerisms of what how my parents have acted. But now I can look at it and say, "You're not my mom. You're not my dad. You're just Brian being upset. I can handle that." You know, I knew how not to have a good relationship. That's what I watched my entire life. Yeah. I knew how to sabotage myself. I didn't know how to actually have a good relationship. And between my therapist and our couple's therapist, I learned that to love ourselves is to love each other. And, you know, it's not just about love in a relationship. It's all about tolerating the other person. Is a huge factor of it.
Sometimes it is just tolerating, and the tools. I think we've learned a lot of tools, though.
Coping mechanisms,
and communication. Though we communicate better, we understand our needs better. We respect each other's boundaries more. Like, I think those are all the things, and that's all part of the integrated attachment theory program that I was working through.
Yeah.
Is how to do all those things, and I'm still learning those. And we both are. We're still learning to do these things better, right?
But it's going to be a constant.
But when you learn how to do those things, and you understand, you're gaining this knowledge, and then you begin to practice these things, put them into practice, you can see that your relationship can go from, you know, night and day. It's a big game changer. But like she was saying, it's the childhood trauma that really keeps us back. And so many people don't understand that their childhood trauma is what's causing their problems. And until you address that childhood trauma, you're going to stay stuck in these negative zones, and they play out in ways that can be horrible. Even if you don't get to the point where we did, where it's like a restraining order, I'm glad it was that, because it was so severe, we had to look at it. But a lot of times it's not severe to that point where we just get along, we get through it, we deal with it, right? But it's never really all fulfilling. It never feels great.
Yeah, just pretend everything's okay.
Right. We never get to look at it, because we just think, "Well, it's okay, whatever." Yeah, we just shoo it. But I'm so glad it got to the point for us that we had to look at it, and that awareness was so powerful that it was a game changer. Now we're able to change our lives, understand these things differently, be willing to say that, you know, I'm not perfect. Look at ourselves, how we can do better. And that's really made a difference between the two of us, you know, just healing our trauma and learning these skills.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys have reset your nervous systems and that you actually are available for more intimacy now. Like, this has actually been really beautiful for you because you both chose to heal yourselves and then recognize that
individually.
Yeah, individually. Yeah. You guys healed yourselves. And then how did you find each other back again after you healed yourselves?
You kind of fell back in love. Yeah, again, how did
this,
because
this is probably the even better love story.
Well, I don't think we ever fell out of love per se. I mean, I think again it was just that trauma that drove us apart.
Yeah.
And the inability, right. She never wanted to leave me. I never really wanted to leave her, right? We just didn't know how to do this. And so we didn't have the skills necessary. So but because of the restraining order, I had assumed that it was over. I'm assuming, and we weren't able to communicate for several months. Of course, what happened, she thought I was probably hateful and hated her, never wanted to talk to her again. And so she didn't understand that I was still, still loved her. Yeah, I mean, but I still loved her and cared about her. And so what happened was over a few months of not talking to her, eventually I was able to start seeing my son again because the judge actually put my son on the restraining order as well. So I wasn't able to see her or my son, had no contact at all for several months, which really is a great thing. I think if anybody's struggling in their relationship, no contact is something people talk about. We had a forced no contact. And that time can be used, if you do it properly, that time can be used to heal yourself and ultimately can heal your relationship. If, again, if it's meant to be, that can come
around. I think that the person, how you had to make a conscious decision to do that, because a lot of people can become really bitter and angry and choose not to develop like a better understanding of, you know, how they got there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Most people will run away.
Yeah,
we don't want. No, it's good. I don't take any credit. I was put in a position because I had to, because I couldn't leave Massachusetts. I had to stay here for my son, and I was literally fighting every day just to stay, keep my head above water, and just be here so that I can be here with my son as much as possible. But again, in the meantime, why wouldn't I just want to continue to learn this stuff? And I was fascinated again by the integrated attachment theory program. I saw answers. Mm-hmm. I saw answers, and I just wanted those answers, whether it was going to be with her or somebody else. I wanted those answers.
I've watched some of her stuff too. It's incredible.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, you're familiar with her. So I was just engulfed with that and happy to learn it. But I made the choice, and she made the choice. And ultimately we had a conversation where, just a quick conversation about, things. And she told me that she still loved me, and I kind of was like, whoa, like I wasn't really ready for that. She told me she didn't want to be with anybody else, that I was the only person she wanted to be with. And I was like, okay, really? I was kind of shocked by all that. So I told her, I said, listen, if that's the case, we got to get the restraining order off and we got to be able to, kind of move forward like that. It still took another month and a half really before the restraining order came off because it's not just a snap of the finger. So it's definitely, it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was challenging. But once we did get the restraining order off from day one, we were just connected and decided we wanted to work on our relationship, and we began to put those pieces back together.
I'm curious, what things have you learned about your communication style? It's like, what are some tools that you guys use now to communicate more effectively?
I love this answer. I'm sorry, I don't want to talk too much, but the communication thing is great for me because I feel like we do something called like holding space, which is really great. So we can look each other in the eyes, and that person gets to speak for 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is they want to get off their chest, without the other person interrupting. Okay. And so now person is listening to understand and learn and comprehend what's being said, not to defend, right? Because typically when we're triggered, we're not in that right zone. We're listening to defend. I'm only listening so I can punch back and tell you you're wrong. So now we do it in a way like, nope, we're going to give each other time. I don't interrupt her. She doesn't interrupt me. We get to tell whatever we need to talk about. And then when that person is done, the other person then gets to go. And it doesn't mean we have to agree with each other. We can completely disagree. I can share my exact thoughts. And if they are completely opposite, that's okay. But she's not going to interrupt me, and I get to speak my voice. And now we're both feeling like we're both being heard. We're both being more understood. And we can come away from that with some real meat to work on and to say, okay, well, it may hurt a little bit to hear that or something, but now at least we know the truth. We can work on this, and it's a much better way to communicate then trying to talk and have conversations when you're triggered and trying to defend yourself all the time and everything else. So that's for been sure. a game changer in my opinion, for sure.
I would imagine that would take some practice.
Did you have to like sit on your hands at the beginning and like?
For sure, yes. You watched it. For sure, that's exactly how it works. Yes, you're sitting on your hands. It definitely takes some practice, for sure. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. And again, we're still working through this. We're still improving every time. We're still working on all these things. So it's not like we're arrived. There's something you have to practice for the rest of our lives. But the more you do it, the easier it does become, and it does just get better. It's a great tool to be able to say, wow, you know what? We don't have to argue over this right now. We can put it on the shelf. We can come back when we're more regulated, and we know that we can have a good, healthy conversation when we're both in a better space to do that and not feel like we have to force a conversation when it's not right.
I love that you're saying this because I grew up with being told, like, never go to bed angry. Like, you just can't do that. But the reality is, like, you know, that's actually a good thing sometimes because you do need to reset before you can have any kind of a productive conversation. Absolutely. You know, in the moment, our frontal cortex just shuts down entirely and we just hurt each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's no point. And I love that you know you can walk away, come back, give each other space when you're in a good place.
Well, and that you both want to come back. To have that discussion, to be there with each other.
And sometimes it takes longer than others. Sometimes, you know, the other person needs an extra day or two or whatever it is. But I always say it's better to wait than to have that conversation when you're triggered. Never have these conversations when you're triggered, because if you're at that heightened emotional state, that's when things get bad. That's when things get ugly. That's when things get said that shouldn't be said. And it's never productive. So it's better to sleep on it than it is to, you know, obviously in a best case scenario, yes, we'd all work through it. And we'd never go to bed angry, but that's not always the way it works. And that's not reality. So sometimes it's better to take a step back before you take a step forward, you know?
Yeah. I love that. You guys are amazing. Such incredible tools. So you guys have like when you notice the other person might be getting a little bit emotionally heightened, like, do you guys help each other calm down, or do you just say, hey, you know, how can I help you? Or do we need to revisit something at a later time? Like, is there like
cues,
things that you guys do for each other that way?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I know when she gets a little triggered, she likes to take some space. She likes to not talk, get away from me, you know, take that. And in the past that would really affect me because I would always, you know, feel like she's angry at me. It's hurting me. And I would want to talk through it at that time. Right. I just like, you know, try to apologize for my part. Let's talk it through right now. But I realize now that, I need to give her that space, right? Give her the space, let her get regulated. And then eventually she will want to talk with me again. I don't have to worry about her never talking to me again or leaving the relationship. No, it's just that she needs to get herself regulated so we can actually have a good conversation. That's how I see it from my side. But yeah, on her side, she's been great to me too. I'll tell you, I feel like she notices when I'm dysregulated, and she makes a much better effort to, you know, be calming to me, put her arms on me or hug me more and do those things that really help me regulate more. And it's amazing, you know, the way she was never like that before, but that's something that she's learned and she does it really great now. And it's, again, we're just learning how to help each other. What do we need? How do we do this? And now these tools it's like incredible when you understand the other person better and you start to practice these things. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I kind of want listeners to like, you know, if they're interested in learning more about this, like how are there resources we can share or what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm actually an integrated attachment theory coach at this point, and I have a website called Make Your Relationship Fail, which of course none of us want to make our relationship fail, but I talk about using failure as your launchpad to success. Sometimes you have to fail in relationships or whatever it is that you're doing. And that failure, if you can look at it and learn from it, then it could be an invaluable time to change, right? So people will do more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure. So a lot of times when you have a breakup, you are in a lot of pain. And that could be the best time to get yourself involved, start to figure things out, look at yourself and ask yourself, what is my part in this relationship? Okay. And let's use that failure to take you and to get you to a spot where you're going to have a great relationship with somebody, whether it's your spouse coming back to you or whether it's a new relationship, doesn't matter. We're going to focus on you getting healthy. So go to my website, makeyourrelationshipfail.com. Now, when you do that, I usually have people join the personal development school with Thais Gibson. That's really, she's got so much information there. It's a really just an invaluable resource. And so what I do is have people join that, and then I can help coach them through the experience, you know, as they do that. But I find that to be the most powerful, you know, program there as far as just online or anything like that. And when you go through my website and you join personal development school through my website, I'll actually give you a free session just to, you know, get you pointed in the right direction. We could talk about your situation, maybe give you some pointers and some ideas on how to move forward. But
and do you feel equally comfortable working with men and women?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, I've got a heart for the guys out there that grew up without fathers, you know, because that's my situation. So guys that are struggling that don't know how to really, you know, we haven't been taught how to be men. We haven't been taught that it's okay to, you know, accept that we're not perfect or that we're wrong. We don't have to defend ourselves. All that. Like, we just haven't been taught these things. And so I really love working with men. But yes, I'm very comfortable working with male or female. Anybody that's really in a crisis situation for me is the best one, because I've been through the crisis. I know how to navigate this a little bit. And we can kind of help you get through this really, really difficult time, because there's nothing worse than losing the person you love, especially just because you don't have the tools, right? It's like, you know, you love each other, but you just don't have the tools. So let's get you some tools that you can learn how to love.
Oh, somebody. I love you guys.
You know, again, I always pray that it's the person that, you know, that comes back. Like in our case, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate that we were able to come back together and make this work the way we have. Not everybody's that fortunate, but even if it doesn't work out that way, you take the approach to say, you know what, I'm going to get healthy because I know and trust that somebody else will come into my life. And they will. Okay, it will happen again. And so when that happens, you just want to be ready for that and not have it fall apart the next time because you weren't ready. You know, do the work now
so that you can
enjoy the future when that time comes again, because that heartbreak is just brutal. Nobody wants to go through that. And you definitely don't want a restraining order against you. So.
But don't you think, I mean, like what, Kristen, how hard that must have been. But
how brave.
Kudos to you for your bravery.
Kudos.
Because that's crazy.
It was gut-wrenching, honestly. Like it is definitely a tool for when you're in that situation. My experience, I never wanted to do it. But because I felt he just wasn't giving me my space and letting me ground myself and heal.
Yeah.
I had to protect myself and my inner child, because I've never done that before. So, you know, the day I put it on there, my gut was just in knots. Like I knew I didn't want to do it. I knew it was the worst thing I could have done to him and to us. And it was a horrible, horrible feeling. And I felt that the entire time until the day it got off, it came off. When the judge said, you know, that's it, you guys are good to go, it instantly was lifted and I felt better. It was,
that's amazing.
Every night, like I cried myself to sleep every night. I had friends in my therapist tell me it's time to move on, go out on dates. I literally got physically sick to go on a date with another guy. Like my body was like, nope, it's not right. It's not right. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. So when he apologized, even when this restraining order was on, and he apologized and said, you know, I hope one day we can talk. And my brain was like, oh my God, maybe we do have a chance. Like he said all these things and it's exactly what I needed to hear and what I've been wanting to hear. And, you know, maybe we do have a chance. So
it was. You guys were grounded in becoming healthy.
Yeah.
And I love that you guys got yourselves where you needed to be.
Yeah.
So then you could merge together.
The best thing I learned was that, no matter what relationship I got into after him, it was always going to pretty much be the same as this, because I never healed myself.
Yeah.
I was always going to get triggered. It was always going to end up in this deep sorrow of my pain because of what I'm carrying. So if I don't fix me, all of my relationships are going to be difficult.
Do you love having a partner now that is actually on that growth journey with you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, if you asked me a year ago, if it was ever going to be like this, I would have said you were crazy. A million years did I ever think we were ever going to get back together, or that we were going to be as good as we are and a better bond, a stronger bond, that we can go through those hard times. And, you know, when I'm being bitchy and he can sit down and be like, you know, I'm going to give you some space. And I go, fuck you.
Definitely.
That's exactly what I mean.
You need a hug? I'm like,
oh, I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's such great advice. I mean, I love, yes, you are absolutely 100% correct, Kristen. Like, if you don't take the time to heal yourself, you're just going to repeat and repeat and repeat.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always said I never wanted to be with a man like my dad, and two times I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
now that I've fixed myself and he's fixed a lot of him and I've fixed a lot of myself, it's we both still have ways to go, you know. And
me too.
So I'm like, I
who doesn't?
Yeah. Everybody does. Yeah. You're living in a bubble if you think you don't have trauma. Like, everybody does. It's a fact of life. It's what we're meant to go through to learn our lessons. So it's just, and to learn more about ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, how you guys have learned to communicate with each other is really inspiring. So
So Brian, I'm curious, what advice would you give? What would be your number one piece of advice going through your experience, or what have you learned?
I mean, the first thing is, no matter how bad it looks, like, I want you to know, if you're in that spot, your spouse has told you they hate you, they thrown you out of the house, whatever, it can turn around, obviously, right? So, you know, there's always hope, and don't ever think that it's over guaranteed. But the key is, you got to do the work. And that's the thing, is you got to take the time to do the work, because even if you do get back together with your spouse and you don't do any work, then a lot of times you're going to end up with the same problems. Mm-hmm. And so in order to really get it fixed up and make it happy, healthy, and all that other good stuff, you got to do some work. And so use the time away, use that breakup. It says breakup. I like to say that they call it a breakup, not a breakdown. You can choose to break down. Okay, if you break down, then you're going to go down. But if you break up, then you're just going to level up in your relationships, right? So we're breaking up. Okay. And so if we use the time wisely, we use that failure, we use that pain to say, okay, I want to learn through this. I want to grow through this. I'm willing to look at myself and take some stock and make some real changes. Then I can have a healthy relationship with somebody. And then if it's meant to be, and God willing, it's the right person, that person can walk back into your life no matter what. I don't care how long it's been. I have a buddy who went 16 months, similar situation as her and I. They were separated for 16 months and they're recently back together as well. So sometimes it takes a little longer. We've been very fortunate that it was a few months, but yeah, things can happen, but you got to do the work. You got to put the time in, be willing to look at yourself and not blame the other person. It takes stock of yourself. I love what Thais Gibson says. She says, each one of us is 100% responsible for 50% of the relationship. And that's the truth. I'm 100% responsible for my half. And that's what I have to look at.
I agree.
And let the rest fall. But get some knowledge. Honestly, I love Thais Gibson's work. I love what she does with the integrated attachment theory and the six core elements there, which are, you know, your core wounds, your needs, your emotions, your setting boundaries, your behaviors, and your communication. And when you work on all six of those are game changers for any relationship. And that can carry over into not just your relationship with your spouse, but your friends, your family, you know, all those things. And I think it starts with the core wounds, though. It's a trauma. We got to heal that trauma first, because that's really the root of the problem. So
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, you guys.
Well, I think that you guys are setting an incredible example for your children. And I'm excited to hear more about how you guys grow together. This is just, you guys are awesome. I really enjoy you. Thank you.
Thank you again so much for reaching out and being willing to share, you know, one of those tough things.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Definitely.
We appreciate it. And you can get a hold of us on myperfectromance.com if you would like to share your love stories. And thank you.
Thanks. XOXO.